this particular conference have Benji with us. Benji is the ultimate Avi Avos, the founder of the Chabura, which then evolved into where we are now. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. It's a kavod to have you. In last week's Chabura, we opened the world of Nat Bar Nat, and we focused on the Gemara, which really was three aspects. We focus number one on the Shakla V'Tarya. The Gemara presents a case of Dagim Sha'ol V'Kara. Gemara in the Bam Kuf Yud Aleph on Beis and Chulin presents the case of the fish that had been placed into this Fleishika pan or Fleishika plate. And the Gemara presented that whether they are Fleishik or Parv, whether or not you're allowed to, we would say, sprinkle cheese on it. We would say, the spaghetti from the Fleishik Kli, can I sprinkle cheese on it? They said, the fish from the Fleishik Ka'ara, can I dip it in some type of milchik sauce? So that was the Machlokas Amorim, Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. We would have expected, we saw some of the back and forth thing where I had rice, Lakan, Rav did say, Rav didn't say it. Lamaisa, Rav held it was milchik, Shmuel held it was Parav. The Gemara seems to initially question whether Rav actually said that. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that he did. Maybe not from this marker, from that marker. But Maisa is a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. And uncharacteristically, we pass on like Shmuel. Despite the fact that this is clearly a case of Isur v'Heter, normally the rule is the Hilchas HaKrav Isuri. Here the Gemara has a definite psak. Dag Mashal Bekara Mutal Achol Mekutach. Or so it seems. We'll come back to the psak in a moment. And last time we also, point number two, we contextualize this within sort of the larger framework of Tam Keker. The concept of Tam Keker, we saw this sort of a step down. The classic Tam Keker, and particularly in the world of Basar B'Chalav, is where the Basar and Chalav are in direct contact with one another and directly infusing each other with Tam. I boil beef in a pot of milk. So the milk is directly giving time to the meat, and the meat is directly giving time to the milk. Then that's the most direct. One step removed is Taf Tzadi Zayin, which is Simon Tzadi Gimel, in Yeradeya, the Kedera Shabasar Levash, Kedera Shabisha Levash Levash Levachal, not to cook the milk in the Fleisha Kapat, or vice versa. There's one degree of separation. Instead of the milk and meat interacting directly, is one stage removed. The fleishiks went in, the meat, tom buster went into the pot, and then 6 hours later, it emerges from the pot or from the pan into the milk. So that too is not only usher to create, but usher to eat. Now they should, the chachilah shouldn't do that, but even with the oven, in bishul benos and tam. If I did indeed use a fleishik pan to make eggs and cheese, so if there's enough Tom Vassar going from the pan into the eggs and cheese is going to be treif. And this is sort of the third scenario, where two steps removed. The Tom Vassar went into the pan, but then didn't come out, didn't land directly in the milchik, instead landed in the parv. Landed in the parv, but then the question is, can I subsequently mix that parv with cheese? That's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara unequivocally paskins like Shmuel. We're unequivocally passes like Shmuel that not bar not is mutter. Not bar not is, to be more precise, parav. And that brings us to the third point that we had focused on last time, which was understanding why this is. Rav is easy. The din of Tom Kerker. The Tom Kerker includes flavor that was nivalent to Caleb, as you see from Daf Sari Zayin, as you see from the Pesukim and Chumash. In Parashas Matos and Parashas Tzav, there's a notion of Hagolas Kalim. As a matter of fact, when the Gemara looks to find the source of Tam Ke'ikah and Chumash, that's one of the sources, is Hagolas Kalim. Okay. So Rav would say, Mali one step, Mali two steps. But how do you understand Shmuel? So that's what we left off with last time, is the idea that the Ran has, and that the Rashba already presents in his Torah Savayas, which is that the svara behind Nat Bar Nat being parav is that the flavor is so reduced, it's not that it disappears entirely. The flavor is reduced enough that it can maintain its status, but you cannot create a new status with a reduced tom, with a tom kalosh. And that's why the Rashba and the Ran say that Napanat di Isura is also, but Napanat de Hetera is going to become, is going to stay par, is going to stay mutra. So if I have a bacon, I have a pan, the tray for pan that's used for bacon, and then I use it for kosher, formerly kosher broccoli or spaghetti, and then I take that spaghetti that was made in the tray for pot, and you put it into a second, rewarm it in a second pot, and then I use that second pot for some other food. Step by step by step, there's so many steps removed. The tray for blia, the flavor of tarfus, assuming it's still there's some tam, is going to be problematic. Not but not the yisura is aser, because it started as bacon. So even as long as there's any tam left, it's a problem, because even a tam kolosh will retain its status of aser. But here, it's not barnat de teira. Here, it was kosher. It was just a question of milchus or fleishus. So you cannot create a new shemisser with using the ingredients to create a new shemisser, like basa b'chalav, need to be substantial ingredients. If the tam basar landed in the spaghetti and it is just part of a spaghetti, so at that point, once the tam basar lands in the spaghetti, now it's a tam sheni, two steps removed. You cannot if you subsequently mix in cheese, you're not going to create an isur basar b'chalav with such a tam kalash of basar. That was the approach of the Rashba and the Ran. And as we mentioned last time, as we were just talking about, that's one off gemina is to differentiate between napanat isur and napanat etera. He spoke about how that may relate to the questions of Hagal and Liban also, and we'll come back to that the mitzvah next week. We get to Sif Gimel, we'll come back to this idea of the Ran. But again, last time we focused on the Gemara, on the Shaka Vatari of the Gemara by the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, and how it contextualizes within the world of Tom Kicker, and the Hezber of the Rashba and the Ran. Where we're at now is to focus on Tosus, because the irony is the Gemara is so unequivocal in terms of how we paskin, until you get to Tosfos, who sort of says, well, it's actually not clear at all how we paskin, and it's at least two or three days in Rishonim, it's going to be a machlokas in Shulchan Aruch. Yes, Sam? Yeah. Napa not the Isura means if I have a chaticha the Isura, so it's Tam Sheni. Power of a food. I'm not understanding.
What was the case?
Of Napanat Yisura or of... Napanat is what the Gemara describes. That I make parva, I take fish, or I take broccoli, or I take spaghetti, and I put them in a flesh of the kli. I heat they're heated, let's say, in a flesh of the kli. And then I take them out of the pan, and I put them on a plate, paper plate, and so far it's parva food with a napanat of fleishiks. And then I sprinkle on cheese. May I sprinkle on cheese? If I do sprinkle on cheese, it's a kosher. Oh, you want to know what it even be? According to Rav, would this be a violation of Bishul Bas V'Chalav?
Isn't that the word of the Tadu Shemin and Bajo?
Would it be? So let's say if I then take, so you're saying, let's say I have broccoli. I made broccoli in a flesh of kapap, a clean flesh of kapap. At the Shulchan Aruch stressed, if the pot is not clean, so then that's not a tam sheni, it's a tam rishon. I made broccoli a clean flesh of kapah. And then I take it out, and then I want to rewarm it with cheese. I sprinkle cheese on the broccoli, and I put it back in the oven. So you want to know, so according to Shmuel, sounds like that's totally Heter Gamer. The broccoli is now milchik because there's cheese on it. And according to Rav, treif. Do you want to see even Bishlah Basav Harv?
Maybe?
When you say cliche in the Vash, yeah, but that's why I said, let's say I'll rewarm it. I'll put it on the fire. I'll take the broccoli. I'll put the broccoli back on the fire. In Bishul Achar Bishul, you take us back to Simpei Zayim. In Bishul Achar Bishul, I think they said to Sora Samacharim, say in Bishul Achar Bishul, if it's already Basav Chalav, I'm rewarming it. But if the Basav and Chalav are meeting for the first time, so that's a Bishul Basav Chalav. Yeah, I think so. So now let's come back to the core thread. Sure. That was a discussion in Simon Pei Zion. If I have already cooked meat and I have already cooked cheese, let's say, and then I'm gonna layer them on top of each other, yeah, and recook them. So I believe it was either the Eger or the Pirugadim. It said in Simon Pei Zion. Yeah, the opening of Rekiv Eger in Simon Pei Zion. The first Rekiv Eger in Hilchos Bas V'Chol. First Rekiv in Simon Pei Zion. The very end. Ibn is bashla b'chalav mutter laksa ulavashla. If the meat was already cooked in milk, so then I have the right to reheat it. Because I'm not creating bashla b'chalav. So it sounds like if it was already cooked but not milk, that would not be mutter. Why would that be? So that's what...
You create a new chesa when you cook the two things together.
Right. In the world of Bishul B'Shabbos, so we define cooking as at least cooking of solid food. The rabbi defines as making the food edible through it. So that's the simplest explanation of why we have a principle of eating Bishul Achar Bishul, because. Right, I'm not, if I'm rewarming cooked chicken, I'm rewarming grilled salmon, if I'm not cooking it, and I'm not taking the inedible and making it edible, it already is edible. The Rambam even perhaps says that if you bake an apple, that's a machlokas achron, because the Rambam is trying to say that if you bake something that was edible raw, nechal kamo shruchai, does the Rambam think that's not bishul derais of shabbos? They didn't make it edible, it was edible. So that's a question of the Rambam said. But certainly, if the food was already cooked, so I'm reheating it, I'm not recooking it. To cook means to make it edible. But here, that's what the Achorim seem to say, and then maybe the position around with the Dark Emosh already, that Bishul Bas B'chal, that goes back sort of to first principle, the way we reviewed last week's Chaburah, that the Isser of Bishul Bas B'chal is the Isser to create Bas B'chal. The definition of Bas B'chal is not just Bas, as the Rav said, not just Bas B'chal with a Vav, but Bas B'chal. This Bas B'chal D'Raisa is that a single unit composed of Basar and Chalav that were blended together via Bishul. So once I have Basar B'chalav Shinas Bashul Yachad, I'm not like eat it, I'm not like any Hana. And the Isser of Bishul is the Isser to create that Hefzer. So that's why it's likely that even if I have fully cooked, the meat's already cooked, but here the Bishul. Bishul Basar Chalav means combine the flavors through heat. So it may already be edible, but I'm blending the flavors through heat. That's Bishul Basar Chalav. If it already was, half the meat was already cooked in milk, and then it cooled off, I'm going to rewarm it. So not much I'm going to do with it, because it's Asr B'Hana, but to rewarm it, is Rekiv Eger says, it's not the Isser Bishul. Okay, so now let's bring it back to where we are. Again, we got into this because Sam had asked, if If you held like Rav, that nap or not, bas b'chalav is a problem, would that even constitute a distribution? Perhaps. Or to take it back a step, the case that we agree is problematic. To heat milk in a Shleisha Kapat, Pashtus is, I think we do assume, is not just Baltashkis and Lifnei Iver, anyone's going to eat it, but it is a violation of Bishul Bas B'chol. That was the impression we got in Simon Sadi Beis, on Mon Sadi Beis. There isn't this Bishul on Blius B'chol. Okay, but now let's come back. Lamasa, leave aside Bishul. Lamasa, not Dehetera. The power of the food that was made in the flesh of Kli, so Shmuel says it's power. Except, now the problem is you open Shulchan Aruch and all of a sudden it's a Machalik Mahab Ramar. Mahab says, yeah, the power of a food that was made in the flesh of Kli is power. And Ramar says, no, it's flesh. Or the more common case, certainly industrially, is dairy equipment. So I have power of a cookies that were made in flesh of kakeolim. I have power of a chocolate that was made in flesh. Sorry, I have power of a cookie that was made in milk of kakeolim. I have power of a chocolate that was processed in the same equipment as milk chocolate. So it gets an OUD. You used to get a DE, and DE is a little complicated, confusing to many, so just shorten it to D. Why? Well, because it's somewhat milky. Why do you need milky? That's a nap or not. That's mamish. What does it mean that the Ashkenazi, that was, I said before, the irony. The Gemara is unusually clear, doesn't leave it out to our imagination when it passes like Rav or Shmuel. The Gemara says explicitly, Hilchasa, Dagma Shal Bukara, Mutal Acham Makutach. So how do we come to be Machmir? And why is it that, as we're going to see, that Shulchan Aruch, we're sort of Machmir? The Shulchan Aruch says Parav. And Ramah says, well, it's sort of milchik, it's sort of fleshig. Yes, but there are four or five exceptions. So where does this come from? So the answer is it comes from this Tosus. The Tosus presents, and perhaps with a slight sense of irony, it's hard to know for sure. Tosus the kufirah from the bit. Hilchas adagum shal bekayra shal basar mutul achum bekutach. Yet the fish that were in the flesh of Kapan, you're allowed to eat them in milk sauce. Tosis first explains, but Rashi already said him, Akara adagum sonanim, well, it's lifso. Everything's cold, the davar pasha, like a mandapalik. And no one's going to disagree with that. If everything is cold, if you don't have heat, nor do you have any other force, any other driver of blia, so then just clean off the surfaces and you're fine. The issue is kishachem and roseach. If one of them is hot, beni la gaver, beni tatal gaver, regardless of which one it is, klipa mi abay. We paskin tatal gaver. We paskin that as we saw in Simon Saliyal for sugya m'sachim. We assume that if you have a mix of a hot and cold item, that the one that controls the situation, the determined characterized situation, is the bottom one, the one that's stationary. So if something hot falling into something cold, we don't see that as a case of full bliya, but even that case, we still klipa miyabai, we still see there's at least a little bit of bliya. That we discussed in inside out. This could be the first layer. So Adamei, the Gemara M'sachem, Dafayin Vav. So that's the issue. Over here, we say, no. Over here, there isn't even a kalipa of blia. Everything remains as is. The power of a food remains powerful. It's interesting, the Tosis already is sort of starting very gingerly. Oh, we thought we're talking about the pan they grilled the fish in. I says, well, if it's cold, if something's hot, what's going on? So then they explain. B'shem Rashi Pirish Rivan Chasano, that's an interesting language. The Rivan, Rashi had three daughters, one of his daughters named Rivan. Or Rishon in his own right. Who quoted his Shver, Rashi, as saying the following. The language of the Gemara is so awkward. Dogim Sha'olu Bika'ara. Same as Bashlo, same Nitzel. Kedarish Abishab Bashal, Rivasha Bachar. It's Olu. It's an odd verb. So the Rivan said, My father in law told me, that's because that's the only case that's Mutter. Yes, we pass like Shmuel, but the whole debate, Rav and Shmuel, was only Alu. Rav on this Bashlu Asa, but if the taka was cooked, that's totally awesome. The Kechad Taima Chashav, but that's a single flavor. That doesn't create a step down. It doesn't create. That's not an aparna. And the Tosa goes on to explain. The Rivan was asked about eggs that were boiled in a milcha kapak. He refused to allow them to use it to stuff meat. Because it says milcha. I to not run. I pass like Shmuel. No, that's not all. Shmuel's talking about a case. You took the hot eggs out of the pot and you put them on a milchik plate. You took the hot fish straight off the grill and you put it on a parva grill. You put it on a flashing a plate. So that talk is a very minimal flavor. That's a situation where Shmuel said that's a parva. Mamash cooked. And then he goes on to say, we find this a little surprising, but the truth is, there is potentially a raya to the Rivan from the very next line of the Gemara. You take a look at the bottom of the Amud, the second to last line was the Hilchasa, the Dagon Shalom, the Kaira Mutal Akum Makuta. The next line after, the very last line, the Unter Shashura. Unlike the fish that were in the flesh of Japan that remained parved, if I have a tzanon, I have a radish of a sharp adavar charev that I slice with a flesh of a knife. I have a knife that I use to cut flesh, because now I'm cutting a sharp radish with it. Sounds also like an apronat. Asr achal bakutach. That taka is fleshing, and that you're not allowed to eat in milchik sauce. It's an interesting contrast. So you understand the contrast. Why would it be that a cold knife and a cold radish, the radish becomes more fleshing than the hot fish in the fleshing pan? How you talking? Very strange. So the Rivan said, I'll tell you pshat. What? The knife is a bit. Let's say the knife is a big knife. And the pan is a banyan. For now, we're assuming everything banyan. When we get to Tzadivav, we discuss. Simon Tzadivav is going to discuss Darvach Harv, so we'll talk about banyan. But for now, it's all the same. Well, so let's see. So the Rivan says, how could that be? How do you understand the Hilchasa? Abai is Hilchasa. The two lines, a steer Mene Obey. So what's the pshat? So here, Tosa says, "Yesh lavi raya miladvar mitznon shachatacha b'sakin." That the radish was cut with a flesh chicken knife. Also lachol b'kutach. How do you understand that? Well, agav churfei bolatfei. It's because it's a davar charif, so that's why that enhances the flavor transfer. Ravon said, "Yeah, but it's chashav kachad taima. So that's not a step. That doesn't step down to tam sheni. Not bad. That's still considered to be a tam rishon, a no same tam." He says, "Nisbashel lo garam etzanon." I understand the davar charif will enhance the flavor transfer of it. So you want to tell me that davar charif is stronger than putting it putting the hot fish onto the pan? I understand, but mamash to put the kli rishon, you think that the davar charif drives flavor more than mamish cooking on the fire? How you talking? The Rivan says, "So hard to imagine, so hard to imagine." Okay, now. Okay, good. So, I can't do Rivan. Rivan says, the whole idea of not barnat is it's a very minimal flavor. It's a situation where physically there was very minimal flavor transfer. But the type of flavor that's transferred by davar charif is significant enough. That's really like a tam rishon. So all the more so, he says, when it's cooked. That's what the Rivan says. And then Tosis begins to chip away. Ad kan divir Rivan. Tosis begins to chip away. The first point they make is, ironically, quoting Rashi. And the Rivan was saying the name of Rashi. Tosis says, well, Rashi himself has two explanations as to Taka, how come we are machmer on the not bar not by the by the knife in the Davar Chara. So Tosfos says that number one, and we'll get to this in great length when we come back to this Gemara in the context of Siman Sadivah, Rashi gives two explanations of why is it that the knife is worse. So one explanation is because here we don't consider it to be an apa. It's an exception, not an apa, because it's davar harf. Okay, it's one exception. It's one understanding. But the other understanding is no. It's because it's a knife, not because of the pressure of a knife and the sharp. No, because knives were used to be hard to clean. Before you had the modern detergents and modern sponges, and perhaps most important of all, running hot water. So cleaning a knife was a dangerous procedure. And if you want to make sure that your fingers are intact, and one more difference in realia, in addition to not having modern detergent or modern sponges or running hot water, also the technology to make knives, the knives are much more nicked and grooved, including the sides. And we're used to everything being modern metalworking. Everything is smooth and beautiful. Back in the old days, this is really a little dangerous to really try to get your knife clean. You want to get your pot clean, so scrub, a little grease, and you'll get it clean. But you're going to go into aggressively to wash your knife, that could really be dangerous. So Rashi says knives were often not as clean. So Rashi, another shot Rashi has is that that's exactly what we were saying before. If the pot's dirty, so it's not an aparnat, then that's tamish. The same thing. The knife often. That's what they say. That's what Tosu says. Number one, we're not so excited about the Rivan because of what Rashi himself said. Rivan's quoting Rashi. Rashi himself had two pshatim in the Sakin. And the reason why the knife is a problem is because the shuman karish al asakin, the knife itself is greasy, it's not totally clean. The nicker, it may not be so obvious, but it's a little bit flashig residue on the surface. So that's mamasha tamrishim, but it's known. So the rash is directly touching the flashig film, the flashig grease on the surface of the knife. So then it's irrelevant. Then, okay, but how about the other approach? Then he says, one second, Rashi himself, forget about what he says about snow. Rashi himself, in talking about our case, does not sound like the real. Because Rashi said, Rashi describes the case, he does not describe it the way that. The way that the Rivan presents it, so that's a real problem. Rivan, that's sort of the irony. Shame Rashi Pirush Rivan, Rashi himself. Well, what we have from Rashi Pirush Rashi, the Rivan had a conversation with the Shver. So over Cholent, they were talking at the Shabbos table, and he said, and the Shver told me the Shabbos Gemara, which is fine. But when your Shver wrote his Pirush on the Gemara that we have, he did not seem to say that. So, and this is not by far the only time. It's not so frequent that Tosis quotes Rivan, but I don't have numbers. But I think a fair, I don't know if it's a rove, a fair percentage of the time when Tosis usually quotes Rivan, most of the time, Tosis quotes Rivan, they reject him. And I think it's often. I think this is not the only time when the Rivan quotes Rashi and Tosis disagrees with Rivan about what did Rashi think. This is probably the most famous one. Comes up in Yevamos, comes I think a couple places. Then they go on to bring rias from Gemara. And then Tam has a series of rias from other sugyas. That it quotes Pesachim, they quote Tzvachim. That it really sounds like that not bar not is not just a case of alu, it's even a case of nisbashlu. For instance, take a look at the if you have a Gemara, you can take it on top of cookie base and all. If you look at the copies, they want to grab a friend, make a friend quickly. The Tosis quote, or maybe you'll remember Baal Peh, the Gemara in Pesachim, those who learn Daf Yomi, or those who learn Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim talks about the oven. The oven, where you have an oven that was greased, imagine like a taboon, or some sort of brick oven you're making pita in. So the Gemara says, Ein tashan atan rabba alde. you shouldn't smear the walls of the oven with schmaltz, with clay sugar fat. In Tashkal pasa surah chiyusa katana. If you did, if you greased the walls of your oven with not with Crisco but with Fleischer grease, so then any bread, any pizza you're going to make in that oven is going to be treif until you burn out the oven. Why? This is going to come up now. So now we're moving to Sadi Bach, Sadi Zayin. So in Sadi Zayin, you're going to have the din that's the sugya of milchik bread and Fleischer bread. Midrabanan, if bread is milchik or Fleischer before it's even baked, it's treif midrabanan. Because we're worried, gzeira, you may end up eating the milchik bread with the Fleischer food and so forth.
Why did I always think there was specifically dairy bread there?
I don't think so. It's because how often do you have Fleischer bread? You're hanging around the wrong people. They're more interested in milchik. Okay. Anyhow. So maybe they're more inflation, because that's why the concern of milk bread. No, once it's baked, of course, ultimately bread usually becomes inflation. No, there's nothing wrong with making a meat sandwich. But Correct. That's a similar type, but not the same, but similar concept. But here, if it was baked, if it was rain milk or flesh before it's even baked, so the Gemara says then it's midrabanan, it's treif. So, and one of the scenarios the Gemara gives is that I had greased the walls of the oven, presumably, I don't know, maybe to make it easier to remove the pizza. If I grease it, which is fine if I use power of a grease, but if you use fleishik grease, so then the bread's going to be, it becomes fleishik as it bakes and therefore treif. Ad chiyusa katana, let's stay focused on the core here. Ad chiyusa katana, the only way to solve the problem, the Gemara says, is burn out the whole oven. You're basically doing libun. Tosa says, why are you doing libun? What do you have to kasher your oven for? That's a very intensive, energy intensive procedure. Just clean it. Lo sagi bikinuach. Why don't you clean it? To scrub the surface clean. Because what's the issue? Not for not. Not for not. LMI, so it's why we talk about it's up. A riot to Rivan. Is that a riot to Rivan? Right? Rivan would say, I have a raya. Why did the Gemara demand that you kasher the oven? You're not using the oven. You never use the oven for milchitz. You just use the oven for parv.
It's a little different than the oven is to make the fleishig bread. So it's
but it's not even fleishig. What's the concern? I'm going to put butter on the bread? I could.
No, but you're still making fleishig bread.
Okay.
It's like cooking your cheese sauce in a fleishig pot.
Maybe one response to Rivan would be no, but there's a separate gezeir drabanan of fleishig bread. Even though it'd be interesting that Chazal would structure it that way. If you can't go wrong. If I took that bread and I put cheese on it, it's kosher. Okay, maybe that's part of the gezeir fleishig bread. I'm sorry? Right. Correct. Because that's not parnat. It's not parnat. So the Rivan says, what's the issue? The blea of the fleishik went into the oven. If I clean off the surface, so it's the only question of blia, so then the bread's going to become an apranat. So what's the problem? So one solution is, maybe now there's a new din with its own life of fleishig bread. Maybe. The Rivan says, I'll tell you what the issue is, because the whole din of apranat is only olam. He was Nizbashlo. That's the difference. Rivan says, you see, the Gemara is like me. That's what this is, not Barnat. This is real. Your mom is baking the, not just putting hot bread against the cold oven wall. Your mom is baking the bread. So Rivan says, that's not Barnat. A riot to me. So there are three approaches in Rishonim. One is the Rivan. See, from the Gemara Pesachim, you see that Nizbashlo was a problem. Only all those much. Then on the other hand, you have Ben Tam. Ben Tam says, nah. He says, it's very simple. This is like a stone oven wall.
And at the end of the day,
brick oven wall, a million grooves, a million nooks and crannies. Not in the bread, not in the nooks and crannies in the wall. Not maybe in the oven. I said, Jerry, that's the last wide line toast. Right, Tom said, "Yeshlu al-tanul hiskanechi off the kishenid b'gosh hamnunis." The havi be'enat shusak. It's not a question of the blias. It's just you can't clean. You're not even burning it out to kasher. You're just burning it out to actually remove all the surface residue. How are you going to get rid of all the surface residue? Endless little bits of grease stuck in the every little crevice. So on the one hand, Rivan says, from this Gemara Pesachim is a riot to me that the whole Hefter of Shmuel is incredibly limited only to Olam. On the other hand, you have Rabbi Thomas says, no. Cooking, baking, it's all the same. And that Gemara is saying it to burn out the oven because of the residue on the surface. And then you have a middle position.
Like, even though he wasn't the Gazel, he was Shogit.
On the one hand, you have the Rivan. Rivan says the whole Hetzer is only Olam. On the other hand, you have the Tam, and the Beis Yosef starts quoting loads of other Rishonim who give the Tam. Ashkenazim and Sfaradim, the Rashba holds like a Tam, and the Ran holds like a Ben Tam, and the Rambam, I mean, the Rambam is still in carefully, holds like a Ben Tam. Very, very popular opinion. And then in the middle, you have the Rosh. The Rosh takes a middle approach. He quotes this one of the early Balei Tosfos, Rabbeinu Baruch, the author of the Sefer HaTruma, who we're going to be hearing more from next week in the end of Tosfos. They said, well, maybe there's a difference between... We agree with the Rabbeinu Tam, it's not just Olam. It's not just Alu. It's also Nizbashi. But maybe not Mitzvah. The Rav Aruch and the Rosh sort of have a middle path here. Maybe if you just cooked it, as in the world of Haggadah, cooking is a transfer of flavor, but dry heat, like grilling or baking, nitzlu is a deeper transfer of flavor. So the Rav Aruch and the Rosh think that's relevant here too. That if you cooked it in water, you boiled spaghetti in a fleishik pot, the spaghetti is powerful. But if you fried eggs in a fleishik pan, then those eggs are fleishik. So then this Gemara is talking in Pesachim, he's not talking about cooking with liquid. It's dry heat. That's not a problem. But other cases, but on the other hand, the Rivan Shaila of the eggs that were boiled in water in a milchik pot, Rabbi Barbara would say, no, that's okay. That's okay. So now we really have three approaches in Rishonim. Whether the most robust approach, which is also the dominant approach in Rishonim, position of Rabbeinu Tam, and position of most of the and the Ri, as well as the position of the most of the probably all of the Chachmei Sfarad, the Rambam and the Rashba and the Ran, they say it doesn't matter what you did. Anything that was prepared in a clean flesh of kli is pyre. Tom Shaney is just Tom Shaney. That Torah is mutter. Period. Doesn't matter how the flavor is transferred. It's a Tom Kolish. It's mutter. On the other extreme, that's one extreme, and that's the dominant view. On the other extreme, you have the Rivan, who said, no. If you cooked, if you baked, that's all problem. That's only if it's basically Shaney, anyways. Only all. And in the middle, you have the Rosh, who says, Alu is mutter, and his bashlu is mutter, but nitzlu is problematic. Those are the three opinions. And with that, let's turn our attention to the Shulchan Aruch, and let's see how we pass it. And we had said before, when we look in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah seems to make the Gemara's Hatter disappear. Now we begin to understand, not quite, of course we pass like the Gemara, the question is, what did the Gemara actually say? So here, take a look in... we had already seen, but let's go back to Sif Aleph. Last time we saw Shulchan Aruch only, Sif Aleph and Beis. So let's begin again with the Sif Aleph, then we'll jump to Sif Beis. Dagim Shenis, Shulchan Aruch says, Mechaber says, Sif Aleph, Dagim Shenis Bashlu O Nitzlu B'Kedera Shalbasa, Rechutza Yafen. Now you appreciate his language. You have fish. The Gemara said, "Dagum shalu b'kayra." So Shulchan Aruch goes out of his way to say, to retranslate "alu" as "nispashlu" and "nitzlu." He's trying to make the point that not only does he not accept the chumrah of the Rivan, he does not even accept the half chumrah of the Rosh Hashanah Baruch. No. He doesn't even if it was cooked, even if it was grilled. even if it was grilled. As long as it's rechutz yafa, as long as the kli is clean, so then mutter lachum bekutach, not by not there. Okay. But now let's take a look at the Ramban Siv Beis. Yesh machmirim betzliil bishul. Lesser no sentam by no sentam. Some are machmir, says he doesn't say we're machmir not by not. He's nachar by tzliya and bishul. The Shulchan Aruch took the one extreme, the approach of Anatam and the Chachmi Svar, the Ramban, the Raj of the Ran. The Ramah is saying, well, Yesh Machmir, the other extreme, not just the Rosh and Ben Baruch, but all the way to the Rivan. That if it was grilled, a part of a food that was grilled on a fleshy kli, or even part of a food that was cooked in a fleshy kli, is not going to have the status of a nap or not. Instead, it's going to be mil, or it's going to be fleshy, whatever the kli was. So Ramah begins by saying there are those who are machmer, the other extreme, the Rivan is out there. Not only does the Rivan sheet exist, but haminig les ar lechatchila. What is our practice? What's our practice? What's our practice? So here Ramah begins to say, we accept Rivan somewhat. But we accept the Yavan in a very limited fashion. Some of these clues are more obvious than others. But let's see, four or five clues of the Ramah. He says, number one, Bidyevin Mutter B'chali. Number one, it's Mutter Bidyevin. Mutter Bidyevin means, once you sprinkled the cheese on, you shouldn't have, you're not supposed to mix the spaghetti with the cheese. You made the spaghetti in a clean power pot. Don't put, Machab would say, enjoy, go ahead and put on cheese sauce. Ramah said, no, don't put on cheese sauce. However, if you did put on the cheese sauce, we're not going to tell you to throw it out. Put on the cheese, so enjoy. We're machmir lechatchil for Yvon. But b'diavad mutter. Now, interesting, the Shach says, the Marshal was even more machmir the Ramah. The Shach says, the Marshal, Osar filu b'dyevet b'nitzli. He was machmer like the Rosh Meir Baruch, even b'dyevet. Okay, I don't think we accept that. Unless you're worried about that the grill wasn't clean. Which again, some of the Rishonim talk about nitzli, not the Meir Baruch, but some of the other Rishonim, the smog, may just be saying like, well, what are the chances that the grill is clean? Okay, but anyhow, the Ramah says b'dyevet mutter. So that's number one. We accept the Rivan, but only the Chatchila. Only the Chatchila. Once you mix the cheese in, we're not going to tell you to throw it out. And then number two is we accept the Rivan somewhat. Dafka lechel imchalav abasar atzma. You're not allowed to eat the spaghetti that was cooked in the flesh of kapat, or the salmon that was grilled on the clean fleishik George Foreman. It's a relatively easy to clean grill, or the eggs that were made in the clean fleishik pan, power of eggs in the clean fleishik pan, nitzlu, whether it was nisbashlu, even if it was nitzlu, you shouldn't have that with cheese. But litna b'klishalahem mutul chatchila. You're allowed to reheat a nap or not in the other type of kli. I have the pasta that I made in the clean fleshic pot. There's nothing wrong, even the chatchila, with reheating it.
But litnan isn't just putting it on. He doesn't say chamem or something.
Yeah, I think that means. If it's cold, then. Right. That takes back to Simon Tzadiyal. Yeah.
Putting the cheese well in the pan.
No, it's a step by step. Step by step. Even the Machaber agrees that you should, if the spaghetti is still in the hot, clean, fleshic pot, you should not be sprinkling spaghetti and cheese on. That's No. I took the spaghetti out of the pot. I boiled spaghetti in a fleshic pot, and then you put it in the colander, and now it's on the plate. And now I want to sprinkle cheese on. So the Chaber says, go ahead. You're passing like the way on the time of the Rambam. Naparnat is totally fine. And Ramah says, another Rivan thought the whole Naparnat is only alu. This is Nisbashlu. So don't put on cheese. If you put the cheese on, that we can make like the Rov Yishonim, I'm not going to tell you to throw the food out because of Rivan, but if you haven't yet put cheese on, we'll say, enjoy your cheese and enjoy your spaghetti, but not together. Enjoy the spaghetti now, and some other time you have the cheese, and be machal like the Rivan. But even the chatchila, the only issue is to put cheese on. But if you have the spaghetti that had been a fleshik pot, now you want to reheat it, you can reheat it in a milchik pan. You can reheat it in a milchik pan, no problem. Because why? Because that's even more steps removed.
But not with milk.
Right, right. A clean milk. But the chenagu, and that's the minik.
Would the Rambam say it's okay?
Would the Rambam say? Would the Rivan say?
No, would the Rambam say that it's okay to even have it in the its own pot, the flesh pot? Because he writes only. The Torah has the whole question of why is he adding the thing of only in basar versus nitzlut.
Yeah.
The Torah makes a distinction of why the Rambam has specifically says. Shatsulim im habasar. It implies that like if we kept it in the pot, it wouldn't be a problem. We keep it in the original pot and just add cheese to it. It's fine as long as you're not cooking it with the meat.
Right, the Rambam says that if you grill the vegetables with the meat, then the vegetables are fleshy.
If you grilled meat on this, you barbecued the meat.
Barbecue is wrong. We're in the presence of people who actually know what a barbecue is. I grilled the meat on a grill. Barbecue would be more complicated. I grilled the meat on a grill. And then I cleaned off the grill, and then I grilled vegetables subsequently. So then the implication of the Rambam is those vegetables are a parf. Right. And that's the most robust version, like Rav Tam, the most robust version of that.
It sounds like, according to the Rambam, though, if I then added cheese on top of those vegetables while they're still on the grill, would it be okay?
Really?
No, but you're putting milk in a fleshy pot.
No, but why does the Rambam say specifically it's only usher if it's on im habasar?
Meaning that was the same deal Tosos had in Rashi. That
it's different. Rambam is a much different. It has a much different lashon.
You have a tzadi base problem.
The Rambam specifically says karsh achlu ba basar ubashlo ba dagam mutal alchem bechalav. And then it says, "Dagam shesol im habasar, also alchem bechol." Only if you're cooking with the meat. But if you cooked it without the meat,
you could
add cheese.
Right, but not while it's on the pot.
He doesn't make that distinction.
What would the Rambam say about Sadi Gimel?
I'm just saying what the Rambam. I'm asking what the Rambam says. The Rambam inside says, "Pshus vashul kar shachlu ba basar." He doesn't say you take it off the pot and then eat no cheese. But he says, Dagam shetzol im habasar, asalachim bechalav.
Are you reviewing the Torah's kash of the Rambam? Are you asking a different kash of the Rambam, or does this relate to here?
I'm talking about here. In that case, according to the Rambam, would you be allowed to eat the cheese with the spaghetti if it's still in the pot?
Or do you in the fleshik pot?
Yes.
Pasha's not, but that's the Taz earlier also. Yeah, like, but you know, let's hold off on that scenario for next week because it's most relevant to Sif Gimel.
Okay.
Sif Gimel is a machloka toast Ramban about something somewhat similar. So let's hold off for now. I'll be Pashtas. It certainly would be unwise to sprinkle cheese on the spaghetti. Because at the very least, you should be concerned that your cheese is going to ricochet or drip, you know, onto the pot itself, and then you definitely lechora in trouble. The Sif Gimel will deal with a somewhat different case where you have not cheese with the fleshy kapot, but a milchik kli, the fleshy kapot that we're going to have to think of one step removed. We're going to have to think about. Okay, so coming back here again, so the Rama says. We're machmir with the Rivan, but with limitations. Limitation number one, we're machmir Rivan on the chatchila. Once you actually mix the cheese in, just eat it. Enjoy. Number two, even the chumrah chatchila is only don't put cheese on, don't mix the broccoli with cheese. But you can mix the broccoli with the milk if you're clean. That's not a problem.
Wait, you just made a distinction, but I didn't catch
it. The second kula of the Ramah is that while the cheese that had been cooked in the fleshy kapat, you should not sprinkle cheese on. That is, sorry. Well, the spaghetti that you cooked in the right, or you have the baked potato, let's say. So I made the baked potato on a clean fleshy grill. So Rama would say, don't put cheese in the baked potato. But
on the baked potato, but not on the grill. I mean, you can do one.
No. But you're not allowed to put cheese in the baked potato. But you are allowed to slice the baked potato with a milchik knife. Don't expose the potato to actual cheese. But it's fine to expose it subsequently to milchik kelim. I'm allowed to eat. I have the spaghetti that I made in fleshy kapat. I'm allowed. I put it on a paper plate. I can eat it with the. With a milchik knife. Milchik knife and fork.
It's okay, though, if you put cheese on it.
If I put cheese on it, I'm allowed to eat it. But I'm not supposed to put cheese on it. But I am allowed lechatchila to choose to eat it, to warm it up in a milchik kli.
Even
Ben Yom. Yes. And then, number three, this is not so much a kula as a restatement. V'cheinim lo nizbashol nitzlu t'chil rak alu b'kli shal basar. Ramah says number three, the whole chum of the Rivan is only nizbashal nitzu. The Rivan accepts the Gemara. The Gemara does say dagum shalav bekayra mutalach makutach. He just limited that to literally alu. But if it is only alu, so then of course you're allowed to have it with cheese mamish lechatchila. Kula number four.
So no one goes the step to say that you should be like Rav.
Correct.
No one holds that you should ever be it's mock enough to be like Rav.
Correct. We accept the Talmud. We are Orthodox Jews who accept the Talmud. The Talmud says Hilchasa passing like Shmuel, so we passing like Shmuel. Right. It's not that some Rishon had some of the Girsa.
Such
my kin.
Repeat number three again.
Number three is that if the spaghetti had never been cooked in the fleshik pot, if I had spaghetti they made in a parva pot, and then while it was still hot, I dumped it into the, let's say I had a fleshik practical case, and a parva pot, but I don't have my parva colander, so I take this big scoop of spaghetti out of the pot, and it's hot, I put it hot straight into the fleshik clean fleshik colander to rinse it off, so that spaghetti you can that's alu. I didn't actually heat it in the colander, I just put it hot into the colander, so that's the case that even the Rivan says is an aparnat and is mutter la'achlo pekutach. You may lechatchila sprinkle cheese on it afterwards. And then, point number four, which is also not such a chiddush, is imhaya klishin is bashlo nislubo lufgam shlohai ben yomo. If I taka boiled my spaghetti in a fleshik kapat, but that fleshik kapat was ein ben yomo. It had not previously been used for fleshiks in the last preceding 24 hours. So then, of course, that spaghetti is totally power. Even if I made heated cheese in a fleshik kapat, which ein ben yomo, the cheese remains kosher. So certainly, if it's just a question of spaghetti, the spaghetti remains parv. And we don't tell you, but why not just, you know, keep it parv, don't put in cheese? No. You could totally lechatchila mix in cheese. And then kula number five is that you don't have to wait. That the din of hamtana, that was the early Simon Pei test, the din of hamtana does not apply. I'm allowed to have the most commonly known kula of dairy equipment is you can't eat it with fleshiks, you can eat it after fleshiks. Oh, and in the reverse case is if it's fleshik equipment, so you can't eat it with milchiks, but you're allowed to eat milchiks right after it. It doesn't drive a need. It doesn't create a need for hamtana. So those are the five kulas of not bar not. We are Amma is machmor not bar not. It's not, that's really a misnomer. Amma is machmor that not bar not is limited, like the Rivan is limited to alus. So Amma is machmor on dagim shenis bashlu bika'ara. But number one, let's do it out of order. Number one, alu is mutter. Number two, if the pot, that aforementioned fleshik pot was ein ben yomo, totally mutter. Number three, mutter to put it into milchik kli. And number four, if you did mix cheese on, you're allowed to eat the spaghetti with the cheese. And number five, that spaghetti will not create a need to wait. The closing point, wraps back to where we had started in Tosis. Tosis had begun the discussion of Ivan. Well, what do you do? It's known Shachatacha B'Sakin. What's the story with the Davar Charef? You come with a Sakin. So what was it? That is Fleshik. So why is that worse? And so Rivan said, I'll tell you why it's worse. Because the only case where it makes was merely Olo. And so what have been Tosis' responses? One response is, well, Rashi has one pshat that the problem is that the knife is greasy. Okay, but there was the other pshat in Rashi. The knife is taka clean. As man is there, your knives are very clean. But still, davar charef. And as Sam had pointed out, it's unlike the Rivan, it's not that we're distinguishing between davar charef versus cooking. The point is, that's one of the chumras of davar charef. We'll get to davar charef inside of it. We'll see there's a davar charef is a rule breaker in many ways. Davar charef is a yotzei me'akal to numerous klalim. And here's the first one. That regardless of how flavor is transferred, whether it's through pressure or whether it's through heat, if the item that's absorbing the flavor is a davar charef, so it elevates the weak tam to be a strong tam. So although normally, if the tam, the fleishik tam from the pot lands in spaghetti, we say, it's not barnat, it's not fleishik. But if the tam lands in onions, that's not an up or not. Whether it lands in onion through the force, whether the driver of flavor absorption was duch zakina, or whether the driver of flavor absorption was heat. It's the same thing. If you saute onions, kimo, and if you cut onions with a clean fleishik knife, we consider those onions to be fleishik. We don't say napa not teira. So too, if you saute onions in a clean fleishik pan, we don't say it's a napa not. And we're not going to say, well, if you mix them cheese, be dead, but no, not so fast. Says, if it was a davar charef, then we no longer have the kula of napa not. He already throws in here, we'll get to it more. If it's davar charef, we also don't have the kula of enu ben yomo. So that's another rule to which davar charef is an exception. It's an exception to the rule of napa not that teira is mutter. It's an exception to the rule that eni ben yomo doesn't impact. Okay, so this is I think we've wrapped together the core of the sugya of napa not, both in terms of the lamda shabo and in terms of the practical machlokas. Harry showed him in terms of how broadly you define alu, and the mechaber is mekel, Rama is machmir, but with five hesitations, with five kulas. Mitchem next week will move on to Sif Gimel, which is an application that we showed him have of the concept of napanat to the reality of washing dishes. Tomorrow, next week, Mitchem will begin the sugya of washing dishes. And when I say next week, I mean right now. Because this week just ended at the end of the Chaburah, and here are my Makamas number 15 that take you forward.